Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. As you heard, I am the official opposition critic for human resources and social development and the status of persons with disabilities. More importantly, you heard, I am also the member of parliament for Sidney Crosby, who you didn't mention the name, but you didn't have to. And in fact, in anticipation of this event today and how excited I am to be here, I had arranged for a special door prize today. I had taken the stick that he used to score the golden goal at the Golden Olympics, but yesterday it was discovered and I had to give it back, so I'll give you one of my 10-year-old son's road hockey sticks, if you're interested. Thank you very much, Minister Finley. Thank you for being here as well. I want to thank you, David, for inviting me. I understand Minister Solberg was here earlier, and distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here. I think originally that David had asked Ken Dryden to represent us, speaking of famous hockey players. I'm not Ken Dryden. I'm a Hall of Fame career shy of that and 6 Stanley Cups, but I am really very happy to be here. And I'm sorry that I missed Brian Lee Crowley. You heard him this morning, some of you? He's also a constituent of mine. And he's a very smart man. And his book, Fearful Symmetry, is very good reading if you haven't read it. Now, am I going to be able to do this from here, David?
Yep.
What do I do with this?
Yeah,
okay. Wow. Okay. So, as you know, or many of you will know, the Liberal Party is committed to creating a universal early childhood education and care program. For us, it's about providing options to Canadian families and giving our Canadian children a head start in both education and social development. Our plan will be largely based on the plan that we had put into place in 2004, which we called the Quad Plan, which stood for quality, universality, accessibility, and developmentally based. Mr. Ignatieff has announced our plan. The details and the costing will be made available to Canadians before the next election. But we believe that we need to have a system of early learning and childcare, not necessarily a not-for-profit system. We believe that there's a lot of options that Canadians are looking for in childcare. And we think there's for-profit organizations, not-for-profit childcare organizations. In my own case, both of my children have experienced both. And we've been very pleased with the quality of early learning that we have received for them. For us, having affordable daycare spaces is about real choice. I think any one of us would agree that, in my case, certainly my wife or I would be the ideal stay-at-home people to look after the kids, my wife a lot more than I suspect, or if not us, a family member or a close friend. For many Canadians, probably more than half of Canadians, that simply is not an option. By ensuring that every Canadian child has access to some form of quality early learning, we can build a society where every Canadian child has an equal opportunity to have an opportunity at success and an opportunity to achieve both their potential and add to the economic benefit of our country. I'm going to take you very quickly on a quick little tour through childcare in Canada. It's not a new subject. Back in the 1850s, childcare programs were established by religious organizations. Industrialization meant that some women, particularly widows, were pressed into the workforce, and the only option outside of orphanages for their children was to have some form of early learning and childcare, and the churches stepped up. In 1920, the Mother's Allowance Act was instituted. In 1942, the Dominion Provincial Wartime Day Nurseries Agreement. During the war, as many of you know, men were fighting. A lot of women were pressed into service. You may recall in the United States there was a famous poster of Rosie the Riveter suggesting to women that the men are away and we have to get into the workforce. So what happened? The men are away, the women are working, they had large families. There was early learning and child care systems, certainly daycares in some cases that stressed early learning, but certainly daycares that sprang into action. In the United States, there was a 57% increase in working women, and it was about the same percentage in Canada. And this program, the Dominion Provincial Wartime Day Nurseries Agreement, was a 50-50 cost-sharing program with child care centers supported by provinces, and it was stopped after the war. In 1966, the Canada Assistance Plan. In 1970, the Royal Commission on the Status of Women called for a National Daycare Act. 1971, we saw maternity benefits as part of then UI, which is now EI, and the introduction of the child care expense deduction. In 1986, the Task Force on Child Care recommended to the Mulroney government publicly funded child care and improved parental leave. One of the results of that the next year was Bill C-144, the National Child Care Act, which died on the order paper in the election of 1988. In 2004, the Canadian government and provinces signed the early learning and child care deals under Ken Dryden and Paul Martin, and in 2006, the universal child care benefit was bought in by Prime Minister Harper and the Conservative government. So it's been around for a while. This is not a new topic. Why is early learning and child care important? That's what ELC is, early learning and child care. Developments in neurobiology and the social sciences have clearly underscored the importance of early childhood period in preparing for long-term emotional, behavioral, and intellectual well-being. Starting a child's education early does give them a head start, one that they're going to need to reach their potential and to compete with kids around the world. We are in a competitive marketplace. Our biggest natural resource is no longer under the ground. It is our children. Our greatest natural resource is in the classroom. And kids don't start learning at six. They start learning as soon as they're born, and I would argue before they're born. Our children are the future of our country. They deserve the best possible start. According to a 2009 study in Quebec, children that are attending a child care facility are less prone to develop problematic behavior than those who don't. The same study shows that parents whose children are not going to child care are more prone to parental stress than parents whose children are. In terms of crime, the National Crime Prevention Council of Canada has indicated that studies repeatedly have shown that high-quality early learning and child care reduces the delinquency rate among disadvantaged children. It increases their likelihood of completing high school and obtaining employment, which are strong protective factors against criminality. The great criminologist in the States, Lawrence Sherman, has indicated if you want to reduce crime, one of the best things you can do is invest in an early learning and child care program. Child care has proven through Quebec to be supportive of an increased birth rate. The birth rate in Quebec has increased since 2002 by 21% versus 14% in the rest of the country. Child care reduces poverty. A universal child care system allows more women to be in the workforce, reducing child poverty. Child poverty is lower in Quebec than elsewhere because women have the option of working and knowing that they have affordable and reliable child care. So the child poverty rate was 7.3 versus 11.9 in the rest of the country. It also provides women with an opportunity to be in the workforce, and an opportunity, importantly, if they've had children, and particularly if they hadn't worked, to get training and or retraining programs and have a place for their children to be while they're undergoing that training. Also, there was a 40% decrease in the number of people in Quebec living under the poverty threshold since they've introduced their early learning and child care program. Also, child care supports a prosperous economy. A study for the Minister's Department conducted by the Center for Spatial Economics indicated that investing in child care provides the greatest economic benefit of all sectors of the Canadian economy by being the biggest single job creator. Investing $1 million in child care would create almost 40 jobs, almost 10 times the number generated by $1 million invested in construction spending. In other words, as it says here, a $1 billion investment would create 40,000 jobs. Every dollar invested in child care and early learning increases the economy's output by approximately 230. In terms of where we are in child care in Canada, this is a quote from Margaret Norrie. Among developed countries, Canada comes dead last in spending on early child care programs. A famous 2008 study in December of 2008 by UNICEF indicated that Canada's provision of early childhood education ranks last of all of the developed countries in the OECD. So they had 10 benchmarks looking at how one would evaluate the ability of a country to provide support for children in the early years. Canada reached one of those benchmarks and finished tied with Ireland in last place. So we were behind the Scandinavian countries that you might expect, but we were also behind countries like Slovenia and Hungary and many others, and indicated that there's a big gap for us to make up if we're going to make sure that our children are prepared for the learning years of primary and P-12. In Canada from 2001 to 2004, according to the CRRU, funded by the department, there were 50,832 child care spaces created each year, and that's dropped to 32,000 and now to 26,000. The situation in Canada again, literacy. Nearly 9 million adult Canadians lack literacy skills necessary to cope with everyday life. We have a woeful statistic on literacy in Canada. Certainly parts of the country, including my own Atlantic Canada, is lower than others. But nowhere are we particularly good at making sure that people have the literacy skills that they need. So people who are not at level 3, which is the basic competence level that you need to hold a job, if you're not at level 3 but you want to get to level 3, you've missed out on literacy in the early years, and now if there's no early learning in childcare, it makes it difficult for you to go and get training if you have children. It's a bit of a double whammy. Charlie Coffey, who is the former retired Vice President of the Royal Bank of Canada, has been an advocate for some years of having a national system of early learning. His quote is that early childhood development is not regarded as a health issue, but it is. It's not regarded as an economic issue, but it is. It's not regarded as an urgent issue, but it is. It's time to invest in young children. The economic and social future of Nova Scotia and Canada rests in very small hands. This is why children deserve the very best start in life. He said that in Amherst, Nova Scotia. The IRPP has indicated, research has demonstrated the remarkable power of quality early learning, childhood care, and educational programs to improving a vast range of social outcomes. So it's not just allowing women to go to work, which is important, but it helps socioeconomically disadvantaged children, reduce grade retention, leads to higher reading and math scores, increased IQ, higher levels of social competence, higher graduation rates, lower teen pregnancy rates, less smoking and drug use, higher employment and income levels, and lower crime rates. Businesses, as well as the usual sort of advocates for early learning and childcare, so that you have social policy groups that have always called for early learning and childcare. I think that they were right. But they've been buttressed more and more in recent years by the business community, who have said, well, wait a sec. You know, we need to be able to provide for our workforce, particularly women in the workforce, the opportunity for them to have quality early learning and care. This led last year, about 6 months ago, to the Canadian Chambers of Commerce to pass this as a resolution at their annual meeting, that the federal government, in cooperation with the provinces and territories and other stakeholders, fund and assist in the development of a provincially delivered effective early childhood development program to improve the long-term productivity of Canada through a better educated and more highly skilled workforce, resulting in superior economic performance. So we do have a coming together of parents groups, of childcare advocates, of business now, who are saying, you know what, we do need to have a national system. We're one of the few developed countries in the world that doesn't now have a national system that provides real choice to Canadian families so that they can actually have a place to put their children. And we need, in my view, to have a special element of that for low-income families. But I was talking this week, my assistant and I, to somebody in Shelburne who was telling me in Nova Scotia, telling me that he and his wife both have high-paid jobs, but they could afford childcare, but there's none available. They don't need $100 a month. What they need is some system that provides a quality, accessible, early learning and childcare system in their community. This is a contentious issue. I know a lot of people have very strong feelings about it. It resolves around choice. And the minister and I probably wouldn't always agree on what defines choice. But for me, it's very simple. Learning doesn't begin at the age of 6. We all know how important the early years are. For me, some of the most cherished memories of my children, who are now 13 and 10, were before they were even a year old, starting to read books to them and seeing in their eyes the wonder as they started to realize what I was saying. For a politician, that's kind of cool. Somebody thinks you're making sense. Those are important. And some of the best programs in the country, Dr. Dick Goldblum in Nova Scotia, has a Read to Me program to make sure that everybody who has a child at the Grace Hospital in Halifax, the part of the IWK, that every child, that family leaves the hospital with books so they can start that learning process. There's all kinds of evidence that children learn before birth. I have got a gorgeous 13-year-old daughter who is bright, and she is one of the delights of my life. But she occasionally has fits of incoherence. And I blame that on the fact that she went to a Celine Dion concert 3 days before she was born. So I know learning starts early. None of us would accept an 8 or 9 year old child who was refused access to a public school, refused access to learning. It happens every day in every community in this country that people can't get the learning that they need for their children before the age of 6. And we believe it's time we change that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you both. That stick would have been really good. We could use it as a